Amen. We're continuing in our series this morning. We're just simply calling the stories of us. And as I've said every week, it's a relationship series where we're learning together how to live out the one another's of God's Word, those one another commandments that are found in the New Testament of God's Word. There's over 59 of those that occur in the New Testament that can, you know, teaches us how and how not to relate to one another. And I've said every week that obedience to those one another commandments is so important for us. It forms the basis for really all true Christian community and really will have a direct impact on how our witness is to the world. We started off the first series with love one another. That's the foundation, right? Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. He said, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And out of that loving one another begins to pour the opportunities of these other one another commands to really begin to live them out in our lives, as we talked about last week, to carry one another's burdens. And today, I want to talk to you about this one that's so important for us as the body of Christ and as the people of God, it's to pray for one another. To pray for one another. Each week, we're having someone come up and share with us some stories of their lives. And so this week, we have the joy and privilege of hearing and listening to Kathy Cubbage. Come on up, Kathy. Kathy leads our prayer team here at The Rock and just does a great job at that, keeping us in tune of how we can be praying for one another. And so I was just going to ask Kathy this morning kind of to share what this one another, this praying for one another has really meant in your life, how God has used it in your life, and you've seen Him work through the power of prayer.
So I've been here at The Rock for, goodness, now about 17, 18 years. And I showed up kind of on the Rock doorstep with three crazy boys. And here at The Rock, the community here has just been instrumental in supporting my boys and I through various seasons of life. My boys are all 2 years apart. You all know them, Nate, Ethan, and Andrew. And if you've spent any time with them, they are a trip. They are so much fun. They bring so much joy to my life. But I had a lot of stuff.
You need a lot of prayer.
I needed a community.
I know.
And I found that through leadership here. I found that with Danny and Jill, with the Children's Church and Aaron, and I found that with Monty and Kim through services here, and then with the youth group. Really, The Rock became a part of our family. The four of us really became a part of our family. And in that, over the years, it has grown into our extended family as we have the Surrenceys and my dad and my husband, Dennis. You know, they've all come in to this Rock family, and it's through the prayer and through the seasons of life. One of the things that sticks out to me the most is there was a season of about 5 to 6 years that was really, really difficult for me. Just kind of coming out of that season, I had my mom and my mother-in-law both in the end stages of their life. And I will never forget being able to reach out through text. I mean, when my mom was preparing to move to heaven, Monty and Kim were right there by her bedside with hospice. That's what praying for one another is about. Nate was hit by a car at 16. And as I was following the ambulance, being able to call Monty and Kim, and they dropped everything and we're ready to come to the hospital. Having that community, being able to call on one another in prayer, in the embarrassing times, in the hurting times, in the times that you have to swallow your pride and go, this is not about me, but I want God to move so desperately in my life that I'm willing to open my hands and have a conversation with the one who loves me the most, with the people who He's entrusted to do life with. And that's what the Rock has meant to me personally.
Yeah. And really, that, through that journey, like I said, it's God has led her to this position of just leading us in prayer and making sure that we're doing and fulfilling that command that Jesus gives us to pray for one another and that God gives us in His Word. And so what is your hope, your dream for us here at The Rock as we continue to move forward and the vision that God has given us when it comes around, you know, this commandment to pray for one another?
Well, the Lord has been so sweet at the end of 2023 and into 2024, and He has blessed me with some amazing women who have joined me on Sunday mornings. And so I have Kristen and Susie and Sylvia, who are all out there in the audience, out in the congregation today, and they have committed. And we're in a text thread, and we are praying for one another. We are praying for you, and we spend 9:15 to 10:15 or 9:30 to 10:15 specifically praying for the service, specifically praying for our leadership, calling out the needs, and it has been beautiful. So obviously, I would love for that to grow, but we've got, you know, Fred Bailey, who is leading his Bible study in prayer. We've got Joe McLeod on Wednesday nights that is leading his, you know, his Bible study in prayer. And there's so many other leaders that are just calling who their, you know, their community in to pray. We have about 75 people on a prayer list that pray as requests come in, and I would love to see that grow. But more importantly, I would love to see pockets of our life groups and our families really begin to come alongside one another and get messy, because life is messy. If anybody's looked at my life under a microscope, knows that things have not been perfect. But God doesn't care about perfection. He doesn't care about what we sound like when we pray. He doesn't care about the formalities. He just wants our heart. And that song that we closed with, it was a song from Maverick City Elevation Worship. And he's telling the story of how people in his life, his grandmother taught him to pray. And then his 15-year-old walks in and catches him praying. And he goes, I don't want to be an interruption. And he's like, you're not an interruption. Come and pray with me. And that's really how I see the Lord. Is we're not an interruption. All He wants to do is to talk to us. If we're angry, beat on His chest. Let Him know that you're angry. If you're hurting, cry on His shoulder. And I think that just beyond, I would love to see us be authentic and vulnerable and transparent in our prayers. Because He tells us in His Word that when we bear one another's burdens, it builds our faith. When we help carry one another through seasons of life, He is exalted. Through coming together and surrendering to Him, He is made strong in our weakness. And I'm just so thankful that prayer has become really a respite, a sense of rest, to be able to withdraw into Him and just be vulnerable. And it takes a little bit of courage to be able to do that. But God doesn't, He's not sitting there with His judgment throne, you know, His judgment gavel like a judge. He's got His arms wide open. And I would just love to be able to encourage anybody who's not sure how to pray, not sure if they can pray, to just encourage you. It's a conversation with the one who loves you the most.
Thank you. Yeah. Give her a hand. Thank you so much, Kathy, for leading us in our prayer line. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, so beautiful. You know, as I share this morning about praying for one another, one of the places that it comes from is James 5:16. And James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I just love that. I just love that. That our prayer, you know, coming from a person, you know, a righteous man, has great power, and it's effective, and as it is working, as we are sharing and calling out to God. You know, as I begin this new year, I've tried to increase my running schedule, right? I'm trying to run every week, trying to get to up to 15 miles a week. And I know you, some of you are further than that along, but that's me. I'm trying to get to that place. And I've had people say, well, you know, why don't you just get you a treadmill, right? You won't have to, when it's raining like this, you won't have to get out there. Or when it's not good weather, you won't have to fight that mental battle. You just get on that treadmill, or go to a gym, get on a treadmill. And I've never really liked treadmills because, you know, I had an experience at a hotel when we were staying there in Birmingham visiting our boys in college one time. They had a little gym. I went down there to, you know, I was going to run, and the weather was bad. And I got on the treadmill, and just so focused on what I was doing that I forgot that when you get finished that you have to turn that baby off. And so when I got finished, I just stopped, and that thing just kept going, and bam, hit up against the... And so I'm looking around to see if anybody noticed me. And, you know, so I carry that with me. So I really don't like treadmills. Plus, when I go someplace and get on a treadmill, there's always some dude that really thinks he's special. Kind of like this guy here. You got that right? What's this guy here? Ever had that guy next to you? I love the guy in the yellow shirt, right? He's just standing going, I could take you out any minute, you little whippersnapper, think you're so great, right? In my mind, though, when I get on a treadmill, it's almost like a dance to me, right? And I almost feel like this guy here. You've seen this before. Show this one on. Yeah, you've seen this guy. This is me on the treadmill.
The shark bait has such teeth in.
How about the guy next to him, not even looking? Come on.
Curly white, just a jackknife, has old Maggie Heath, babe. And it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe.
Yeah,
scarlet billows.
That's what I want to feel like.
Start to
on, a, on a treadmill, yeah.
Fancy glow.
All right, get that out of there. Because let's see if I can connect this. My guess is if you've ever tried to pray over a period of time, it can be a lot like running on a treadmill, right? If we're not careful, prayer can become this regimented, routine, even mundane experience. But one of the things that God's been teaching me over the last few years is that prayer also can be... It can be a dance with Him. It can be as Kathy said, just a conversation with Him where I can have confidence to come before Him knowing that He loves me no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I've messed up in. And there's a confidence there that I can really begin to be in prayer with Him, right? And this is one of the things I've been learning, that confident faith leads to confident prayers. Confident faith leads to confident prayers. I've started doing this from time to time early in the morning. I had a pastor recommend this, and before I even talk to God, just to close my eyes and try to visualize my God doing something otherworldly. I don't know if you ever tried this. Maybe you can do it with me. I won't feel so silly at home, but for instance, like from the Old Testament, you might picture God parting the Red Sea, right? I mean, when was the last time you really stood on the banks of the Red Sea and you watched Him as He said to the waves, part, and they obeyed Him? They obeyed Him. When was the last time you closed your eyes and pictured yourself in that New Testament scene where the little girl, had just died and her family's gathered around her bed and there's weeping and there's wailing and there's crying and mourning and grief, and God leans in, Jesus leans in and says, hey, get up. And she gets up. Just to begin to visualize who you're talking to, right? It depends on who you think you're talking to versus who you're actually talking to. You see, that is the God that we're addressing when we come to Him in prayer. That's who's leaning in. That's who's listening when you begin to pray to Him. When I was a little boy, my dad would do this little game with me. He'd put a quarter in his hand, put him behind his back, and I had to guess which hand it was in. He put him out, and I had to guess which hand. And if I would get it right, he goes, "You're right, you're right." And then I would have to pry his fingers open, you know, and he tried to act like I had like superhuman strength, right? Like I was a superhero, and I'd pry his hands open. And as soon as I saw that cord, I would grab it, man, and I'd start running. And I think about sometimes that we often do that same thing with God. That when it comes to prayer, whatever that is, "God, I just need a good marriage," or "God, could you bless me with my work, Father? God, could you heal this in my life physically, Father?" And the minute that God delivers, we take it and we go running in the opposite direction. The opposite direction. When all the while, what He's really offering you and me is His strong hand. His mighty, powerful hand, and saying, "Hey, I just want to be in relationship with you. I want to walk with you." Psalms 37, David writes this. He said, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble," and listen, we are going to stumble. He says, "Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand." I've shared this with you before. You know, when speaking of hands, if you put a baseball in my hand, it'd be worth about, I don't know, $5. That's what a baseball costs. Now, $5 would probably be worth that. You put it in the hand of Justin Verlander, $50 million. You put a basketball in my hand, and it's I got the shot. It's about $25, but in LeBron's, $20 million. Give me a stick, and I can defend an angry dog maybe for a few moments. But Moses parted the Red Sea. Give me a slingshot, and I could probably hit a can. You know, one out of five times. I mean, I grew up with a slingshot. I probably can do that, but take that same slingshot and put it in the hands of a small warrior who believes in a big, big God, and suddenly giants start to fall. Kings and kingdoms begin to topple. Give me a loaf of bread and some fish sticks. Yeah, and I'll make you a fish sandwich. Maybe. Kim says no. All right. I'll try. Take the same loaf of bread and that same plate of fish sticks and give it to Jesus, and suddenly thousands of people get to eat. It really comes down to whose hand it's all in. So who do you turn to? Who do you turn to? Don't miss this, y'all. The mighty, powerful, strong, big hand of God is always open and always available to you. Confident faith leads to confident prayer. It all depends on who you think that you are talking to versus who you actually are talking to. And that's why I love Paul's challenge in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says to pray without ceasing, to pray continually for one another. One translation says, never stop praying. And what's exciting to me is most Americans seem to understand this concept. I read a stat the other day that said 77% of Americans pray on a regular basis, if not on a daily basis. So here's the challenge I want to put in front of us today. Let's start the conversation with Him when we wake up. And let's walk through our day talking to Him. And let's stop the conversation when we go to sleep. Let God be the very first person you talk to, the first thing in your morning that you do. You know, you just say, "Father, thank you for the rest that I had last night. Thank you for, you know, this warm bed. Thank you for this house. God, I got a day ahead of me, and I just ask you to stay with me throughout my day." And then at the end of the day, say, "Father, wow, what a day. Whether it was good, whether it was bad, God, thank you for not leaving me. Now, will you please help me close my eyes and put it behind me so that I can rest and face the day that is ahead of me? What's interesting, if you take all the writing that Paul had on prayer, if you look at all of his writings on, you know, really throughout the New Testament, you're going to see two really simple themes that he challenges us when it comes to prayer. And they are just to make prayer conversationally and continually. It is conversationally and continually. And I think I understand both of those dynamics, especially as a dad, right? I love talking to my kids, but I really love listening to them. You know, when they were just little dudes, we would come to the dinner table at night, and Kim would have them to share their highlights and their lowlights, right? Maybe for you, it was what made you mad, sad, or glad, or, you know, whatever you would use, right? We would just ask, and then we would just start the conversation and just get them talking around the table. And now that they're older and grown up, we go and visit them, and we sit around that dining room table, and we either eat there or we play board games around it, and we might talk about sports or what we're reading or what we're learning. You see, it doesn't matter what the subject is. But I never get tired of hearing my kids talk. And I find it amazing that the disciples didn't say, hey, Jesus, will you teach us how to preach? Because Jesus was a phenomenal preacher, right? It's amazing to me they didn't say, Jesus, will you teach us how to heal people? Because Jesus was an incredible healer. No. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus revolutionized all of our prayer lives forever. And I think it's because he began this prayer model with two words that had never really been used before. He said, Our Father. Our Father. If you want to turn in your Bible, Luke chapter 1 is one of the Gospels that has this story in it. Luke chapter 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. You know, we've been praying our whole life, but you do it differently. You do it in a way that is so real and that is so refreshing. Jesus, teach us to pray like that. Teach us how to pray so that we can have the kind of engagement that you have with God Himself. So Jesus takes us into this story that you and I, you know, as His followers need to embrace and to need to make it a part of, you know, how we pray like Jesus. And He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus said, this is all you need to have that continual conversation, consistent communion with your God. That you give God your love, right? You just praise Him. Hallowed be your name. You give Him your life, surrendering your will. You know, God, here's all of me. I give you all of me to all of you. You give Him your worries, your guilt, your hurts, your fears, your temptation. And that kind of praying is the way to real life change. But there's an overlooked element, I think, that many people miss. It's what I think is the key to powerful prayer. I don't know if you noticed it. It said, Our Father, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. I don't know if you realize that all the nouns are plural. It does not say, my Father, give me daily bread. Forgive me my sins. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me. So the key to powerful prayer is praying for one another. It's praying for one another. Our Father, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. Begin to understand that you are His son, that you are His daughter. He's your dad. And you get to talk to Him as if that's true, because it really is true. And we, as you know, as leaders and those that have influence, listen, you have God-given strengths, burning passions, innovative ideas, and the ability and responsibility to impact a world that is desperate for hope and healing. Like never before, our world needs humble, confident, bold, and integrity-infused people that pray for one another. I love what Max Lucado says. He said, if God were only mighty, we would salute Him. But since He's merciful and mighty, we can approach Him with confidence. You know, and with this truth of mine, I just wanted to very simply this morning give you three sentence starters as you are driving, as you are working, as you're eating, as you're exercising. I mean, here's some things you can begin your prayers with. You can just start by simply saying, Father, thank you. Father, thank you. It's one of the goals as a church is to be the most grateful people who have ever lived, because we recognize that the more gratitude we have, the more joy we're going to have. The more gratitude that we have, the more contentment that we're going to have. Just say, Father, thank you, and begin to give Him, list to Him your those things that you're so thankful for. I'm thankful for, you know, Kim, who is my best and closest friend. I'm thankful for my boys, my grandchildren, this church, the way that you give to others. You know, small things in life that bring so much joy. I want to be the most grateful person on the planet, because I understand there is a correlation between how thankful I am and how much I worry or how content I am. And so this week, I'm just going to thank Him for everything, from the rain to Chipotle to my shoes to my car. Listen, what are you thankful for? Can you think of just one thing? Continually, conversationally, just say throughout your day, Father, thank you. Thank you. A while back, Kim and I were eating supper out, you know, one night, and just having a great time, and, you know, and had this big meal, and just had a fabulous time there. And as we got ready for the ticket, you know, kind of said, told the waiter, come on over, bring in the key. He comes over and he says, oh, it's okay, sir, somebody's already paid for your bill. It's been paid in full. And I was going, like, who did that, right? Who did that? And he said, well, this guy, and there was a man and a woman just getting up to leave, you know. And so I ran over there, right? And I said, the first thing I said was, where y'all eating tomorrow night? Where y'all eating tomorrow night? I didn't say that. You know, just told him, thank you, thank you. And as I think about that, right, I'm preparing for the Easter messages and you know, thinking about doing the last words of Jesus. And so as I was thinking about that story again, I began to remember the cross and Jesus' last words. And one of them was just one word in John 19:30, and we'll talk about this in the month of March. But it says, when he had received the drink, Jesus says, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It's one of the last sayings of Christ on the cross, and I don't think any is more important. It is finished. It's found only in the Gospel of John. And that Greek word translated, it is finished, is tetelestai. And it's an accounting term that means paid in full. It's the Greek word that was stamped at the bottom of receipts and on bills of sale. It means paid in full. Imagine if that waiter tried to pull one over on us, right? If he didn't tell us that someone had already paid and we still owed the money for our dinner. Just think about that, how that would make you feel. Well, listen, Satan does the same thing to you and me every day. He tries to get us to believe that we're not really forgiven and that we still owe God something for what Jesus has done on our behalf. But Jesus is here saying today to Telestai, your debt has been paid and it has been paid in full. You are totally and completely and eternally forgiven. And that's why I love the old hymn we sang a few weeks ago, "It Is Well With My Soul." I love the verse that says, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." And then it says, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul." Just come to your Father, and throughout your day, just pray, "Father, thank you. Father, thank you." We also can pray, "Father, help me," right? "Father, help me stay awake in this church service." Just help me, God. "Father, help me be kind to this person that's not very easy to love. Father, help me to have self-control when it comes to what I eat or what I buy." I got a new iPhone. I was going to show it to you. I just got a new iPhone a few weeks ago. And I don't get a new iPhone very often. I think my other one was like 7 years old. And I go in there, you know, you got these big deals traded in. You get a new phone. Not so with mine because it was too old. Right? He goes, "I don't even know what that is, sir." You know, it's like. And so I'm getting the deal. I finally get a deal. And I'm going to say, "Hey, I want to make sure I get those anytime, anywhere, minutes." You know, and I got on my last phone. And he kind of looked at me and he goes, "Sir, they're all that way. You don't have to ask for that anymore. It's all." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so I sign, get my new iPhone. I just begin to think, you know, wow. If that is true, what is true of this iPhone is even more true of our relationship with God. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what we're facing. We have any time, anywhere, any minutes with our God. He is available to us. The Bible says, just don't let God be your last option. Let Him be your first option. I mean, if you need help, or when you need help, tell Him. Be specific. And I love James, what he says in James 1:5. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, You need some help, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That might be one of my favorite promises in the entire Bible. God's wanting to give anyone who asks divine perspective on any subject matter. Who doesn't want that? And we need that sometimes, right? Sometimes when I get sideways with a person, you know, a person maybe says something or, you know, says it in a way that hurts or whatever, it kind of, you know, and it's like, and you want to just go back and just, in your mind, you begin to develop this whole conversation with them, how you're going to really tell them. Right? You're gonna let them know. And in the middle of doing that sometimes, you know, creating my own response to something, you know, I got it going, right? In the middle of that, I hear my parents say, "Well, you know, Monty, you can do one or two things. When there's a fire, you can either put gasoline on it or you can put water on it." And our culture has normalized and minimized talking badly about other people. And, right? I mean, there's entire media outlets that have been established just to do that, right? But as followers of Jesus, we're not allowed to gossip, right? We're not permitted to slander or to lie. We can't talk badly about anybody, but we can talk to God about everybody. And in those moments, we can say, "Father, this is not easy. Will you help me to love this person that feels unlovable in this moment? Will you help me to be patient with a person like you've been patient with me. I don't know if you saw the story that was going around a while back about these two dogs who had wandered off from home and they got lost and they were in the woods and they were gone for over a week. And what had happened was one dog had fell into a pit of some sort and the other dog just sat there and wouldn't leave, right? He stayed there for 7 days straight and he just barked for someone to come and help get his friend out of that hole. And I thought to myself, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Every single day, we rub shoulders with people who find themselves stuck in all kind of holes, right? Financial holes, emotional pits, you know, relegated to a deep enclosure that's just relationally or emotionally or spiritually. It feels like they're never going to get out of. And all they need for us is to just be there with them. Stay there with them and cry out to God until they can get help. 1 Peter 3 says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Talking about followers of Christ, one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessings. Father, thanks. Father, help me. And then this one, kind of changed this one a couple of times, but I landed on this. It's really, I think, the most dangerous thing to say. It's, my Father, speak to me. You may have heard of the old saying that coincidence is when God chooses to remain anonymous. Hey, I mean, what if we started to really believe that God put people in our path and put us in their path for a reason? What if we lived as we really believe that God wanted to deliver a message that is soaked and saturated in love to a world that is filled with death and darkness on a daily basis? What if we were put there for a reason? What if we were a people that pray, Father, speak to me? What a dangerous thing to pray. And I dare you to pray it. Just begin to say, Father, speak to me. In a world that is so broken and impure, would you deliver a message of purity through us, your people? In a world that's full of division and dishonesty and disrespect, would you deliver a message of unity and integrity and honor through us? Father, in a world that is so hateful and mean-spirited and spiteful, would you deliver a message of compassion and grace and gentleness through us? Father, in a world where people are worn out and beaten down, would you deliver a message of hope and rest through us? Father, speak to us. Speak to me. Speak to your people. It's a dangerous prayer, right? But what if God was calling us to be in relationship with one another for a reason? What if we prayed that prayer on a regular basis? God, just speak to me about what I'm supposed to say or share or do. I'll kind of close with this. This guy here, his name is William Booth. William Booth. Personally can't wait to meet him. Right? You probably won't recognize his name or definitely his face, but you definitely recognize his work. He's the founder of, anybody know? Yeah, he's the founder of the Salvation Army. And what I love, if you read about his life, his legacy, what I love about him, he always refused to complicate the message of the Bible. And I love that about him. As you read how he shared God's Word, and he so wanted to articulate it in a way that could be understood. And at the end of his life, he was invited to speak at a, you know, at this big convention for pastors and politicians and business people. And he wrote them and he told them at the last minute, you know, I'm sick, I can't make it. And so the organizer of the event said, would you be willing to just pass the manuscript of your speech on to us so that we could have somebody just read it because everyone wants to hear from you? And William Booth said, absolutely, I can do that. And he obliged and did that, and he gave them the manuscript, and it was a single word. He wrote one word, and it was others. Others. And then he signed his name. You see, this life that God has called us to, this relationship that we come into is He's calling us to be here for others, for one another. And so let me just say this. I just need you to know. I just need you to know, if you're new to this thing that we call church or the family of God, before you put your faith in Jesus, before you trust Him with your life, listen, you are the object of His message. You are the object of His mission. His love is aimed directly at you. He is calling you and pulling you into a personal forever relationship with Him. But the second you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, the message and the mission of God shifts to others. It's no longer just about you and me. And I so want us to be this church that takes that very seriously, that we really live out and back up our words with actions, that we would really practice what we preach, that for us, it's all about one another. It's all about others. So, Father, thanks. Father, help me. Father, speak to us. And I can't think of a better way to spend our time this week as the body of Christ than by conversationally and continually saying those things over and over and over again. And watch God change us and begin to use us as His people. So let me start by praying right now. Let's pray for one another. Father, we as your people, we in this room, Father, we that are listening, God, we just come to you right now and we just say thank you, Father. Father, thank you for loving us so much and demonstrating that love to us through the sacrificial gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that even though the wages of our sins and our mess up is death, physical and spiritual death, Father, you say that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you for going all the way to the cross to pay for our sins. Thank you for rising again so that we could have victory over death and that we could step into a personal forever relationship with you. So thank you. Thank you, God, for making that possible. God, help us to have the courage to respond to your Spirit's call on our spirit, God, and on our heart. That, Father, today we would step into that relationship with you, God, that you would help us to do that. You would give us the strength to do that, to say yes to you. To confess with our mouth that Jesus, you are Lord, and to believe in our heart that God raised you from the dead. To really begin to understand, help us to understand, God, that it's with the heart that we believe and are justified. It's just as if we've never sinned. And it's with our mouth that we profess our faith in Jesus Christ and are saved. So God, help us to step into that forever relationship with you this morning. Help us to surrender everything to you. And Father, speak to us. Father, speak to us of how you want to transform us and change us to be more and more like your Son, Jesus. Speak to us, O God, and teach us how we can live out these one another's with each other, Father. How we can love one another. And how we can lead others to a relationship with you. How we can help each other and come alongside each other and grow up in our relationship with you, oh God. Speak to us. Father, give us your word to encourage people around us. To really understand that it's not really a coincidence, God, that you have really placed us in people's lives for just that right time. To give just that right word of encouragement. Speak to us, O God. Father, thank you. Father, help us. Father, speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.